Blog Talk Radio.
Think you're a big man? Treat you like you're a little man.
Break, little man, break it down.
Dangerous. Think you can tell me what to do? You know who you're talking to?
Are you ready?
Always.
No!
We are ready.
Dead.
Yes, Hunter, we're ready.
Let's do it.
Then,
forgot how long.
For the thousands in attendance, for the millions watching around the world, hello.
I forgot how long the pause was in between that there for a second. I was going to be like, come on, Hunter, get to it. We are back here now for Off the Ropes, episode number 11. Kind of a solemn weekend, unfortunately. We had obviously everything going on in Orlando. As you may or may not know, Dustin's wife works in the hospital that a lot of patients are at in Orlando. Big shout outs to everybody who is, you know, who's going through it. We're here. We're with you. We're behind you. We definitely support you. So again, tragic weekend, especially with, I have family in Florida as well, Tampa area. So it's not that far away. But again, horrific events. So we're going to try to have a good show today and try to, get our mind off of it a little bit. Just like I think the WWE, who in my opinion, put on a pretty decent show so far tonight. They did the same thing after Columbine and the same thing after September 11th. They had really good shows, and they really kind of took people's mind off of stuff. So we're going to try to do the same thing here. And ironically, the topic that Jason came up with makes a lot of sense, actually. And it's ironic in the way that it fits, because he was talking a little bit about John Cena and John Cena's legacy. Well, what do you know? John Cena is in the ring at this very moment doing a contract signing with AJ Styles. Well, he's going to be. He's too busy talking right now. But he will be doing that in a second. If he doesn't get – that's true. I think Jason's idea – and I know the Icon had a few things to shout out as well. Oh, I almost forgot. Mark Henry's birthday. What was it, yesterday?
Yesterday. Happy birthday, big man. One day later.
Happy birthday, sexual chocolate.
Oh, see, I miss sexual chocolate. I remember when he was, the world's strongest man for a while. But I loved that whole thing he was doing with China. And then he had the House of Pain. He had the
worst affair in WWE history. Him and Mae Young together, they gave birth to a baby glove.
It was a beautiful baby glove.
The weird part about it is, and Jason, don't take this the wrong way, the weird part about it is it was a white hand. And we all know that black is the dominant trait. So if a black guy and a white woman or vice versa get together, that gene is the kid's going to be at least somewhat of a darker shade. And so they really needed to do their research first before they did that little skit. They should have at least had a tan hand come out of there. But regardless, I'm not going to go into analytics right now.
That's disgusting.
I'm not going to go into analytics.
Thanks.
But anyways, so Jason came up with the topic of LeBron possibly going down tonight. We look at the WWE counterpart for LeBron James in John Cena. Cena obviously was the man for a long time, carried this company on his back for almost a decade, and was sort of I don't want to go as far as to say the Stone Cold or the Rock of his era, but it kind of was. With Cena seemingly at the tail end of his career now, has his legacy and his, well, not necessarily legacy, has his value been diminished with the likes of Seth Rollins and guys like Dean Ambrose and Roman Reigns really hitting their peak at this moment? Is John Cena, they're putting him in matches, like they're hyping up a match against AJ Styles that really doesn't matter. It's not for a title. I mean, it's a guy who's been in the company for 2 months. This isn't a normal Cena storyline, and they're pushing it like it is. Is Cena kind of on his way out here, guys?
Well, I have a good opinion on that. You know, how old is John Cena now?
38.
Yeah, I knew he was pushing 40, yeah.
Okay. He still looks in great shape. You know, here's the thing. If I say that Hogan did it, Ric Flair did it, they stayed in it way too long. And, mm-hmm. but, you know.
Way too long.
Much,
I mean, that whole,
yeah,
Hulk Hogan was washed up in 2002.
Yeah. How much
well,
did he have
looks,
left in the tank?
He, like you said, though, he looks like he's in good shape. I mean, if I didn't know his age and I didn't have Wikipedia in front of me, you'd think he was in his late 20s still, the way he looks.
Right.
I don't know. I mean, Cena's one of those guys where I don't necessarily think his legacy is diminished at all. I'm just sick of him at this point.
Really?
Yeah. I'm just tired of seeing Cena. Like, I think that happens to a lot of stars who have been there for a decade. The only superstar who had been around for 10-plus years that I never got sick of was The Undertaker's character. Back when he started in 91 and he was doing the whole thing with the purple gloves and the whole thing. And then, you know, the goofy Paul Bearer back when he still had a high-pitched voice, but back when he used to talk like a clown and he was like this all the time. And, you know, it was weird. But it worked, and I think that the way that they created that, then they switched it up with the American Badass, and I was like, oh, you know what, this is a nice little touch, you know, this is okay. And then he goes back to the dead man again. Cena's been the same thing since he started. I mean, he used to wrestle way back in the day when he first started, just in regular old tights and a crew cut, but for
yeah, but he used to be the rapper
of his career. His first maybe half a year or so was him just wrestling in tights as the new guy, just like Randy Orton was. And then he became the whole rapper. He did the whole thing. And he's been the same sort of thugonomics, wearing the jean shorts, the cutoff shirts,
yeah,
and the hat for since he's been around. And maybe if they would have done with him a little bit of an image change, like what they did with The Undertaker, to keep it fresh, that might have sort of made me more interested in Cena, you know, at this point. But the fact that he's the same thing he was in 04 just – you know, really, to me, it doesn't matter as much. I don't really care as much.
Well, that's true. I mean, eventually, every character goes through some kind of recreation, like they did Hulk Hogan to the NWO. They turned him to the dark
mm-hmm.
side, you know?
And then brought him back, yeah.
Right, and then back in the day when they were leaving the Attitude Era and switching to the PG Era, when they changed the Godfather to the Good Father and the whole Right to Censor.
Right to Censor, which was awful, but yes.
That, I'll tell you what, that just made me sick. It really did.
Yeah. You know, I'm surprised, honestly, and I'll let you finish in a minute here, but I'm surprised, honestly, that they don't have a Right to Censor type of group now with as PC as everybody is about everything. You know, because don't you think that would be a group that would be more successful now? Or at least maybe not more successful, but more relevant now than it was during the Attitude Era, when you could pretty much say or do anything on television?
And you guys, you got to admit, you missed that era. I missed that era.
Yeah.
I want
of course.
Era to come back, and we're never going to get it.
It won't.
We're not going to get it.
We're never going to get
it. I would even be okay with the, the Ruthless Aggression era, even be okay with. Because even that was, you know, there was some better, they were focusing more on the matches and focusing more on wrestling. But they had some violence. They had some sultry things here and there. But, you know, you're right. We're not going to get it because somebody is going to be offended about something. And the last thing WWE could use right now is another lawsuit. So that's not I don't think we're ever going to get that. I'm surprised, honestly, that they're still doing the tables, ladders, and chairs matches, pay-per-views. I'm surprised they're still doing the Extreme Rules stuff.
Hell in
really,
the Cell?
You know, but the Hell in the Cells now are like Chuck E. Cheese compared to what they were. But, you know, I feel like, yeah, we're never going to get that stuff again. We're never going to have that excitement. I don't think we're going to have as good a storyline, because I think a lot of the storylines were aided by a lot of the violence and so, somewhat sultry things that you were allowed to get away with back then. So,
hey,
I don't know.
Guys, I heard a rumor. I was wondering, I didn't mean to interrupt you there. I heard a rumor.
No, that's
if you
fine.
Guys have heard this about the new John Cena logo, how it looks like Pabst Blue Ribbon beer. Have you noticed that?
Yeah.
With his colors,
no.
It looks like Pabst Blue Ribbon beer. And I guess there's a pending lawsuit from PBR to the WWE for Cena looking like a bottle of Pabst Blue Ribbon beer. I mean, it was.
Oh, wow.
Is he wearing it right now? Let me see.
Yeah.
Oh, the red, white. It's just red, white, and blue. They need to get the stick out of their ass.
Well, yeah. I mean, that. I heard that rumor. I was wondering if you guys heard that.
Well, no, I haven't. But I mean, are people not allowed to wear red, white, and blue now? I mean, did they trademark those colors?
Well, no, not the colors on his hat. What his shirt looks like. You guys haven't seen his shirt yet. They said it looks like Pabst Blue Ribbon beer.
I haven't heard that.
Absolutely absurd, but
let me wait and see the front of it here. Well, that's almost like that's almost like back when we saw Walmart Al Snow's action figures off the shelf because of head, and it's a severed head, and he killed some girl and cut her head off, and Walmart wouldn't sell his toy for a while. Same thing.
Yeah.
And it's just ridiculous stuff that people don't do the research on. Oh,
exactly.
I see it. It's nothing like Pabst Blue Ribbon. I mean, it's...
I know. That's what I'm saying. It's like, I heard this rumor. It's like, well, I got to talk to my boys on Monday about that, see what they heard. And it's like, no, it doesn't. Well, the contract has now been signed.
It has been. No. And, I this doesn't matter to me. There have been contract signings that have been intense. This, to me, is just like, all right, they're signing it.
It's not over yet.
That's true. Well, Jason mentioned something about him possibly getting jumped, the Bullet Club coming out or something, or the club, I guess they're called now.
You can see that happening.
Although I don't know, I think they really want to push AJ Styles as a singles character here, because like I said, he was the man in New Japan Wrestling, he was the man in TNA, and now he's trying to be a man here. And if they give him cronies and just let them do his dirty work, it might take away from his individual ability a little bit. But let's see, AJ, I don't know.
He's
I mean,
the right now.
Yeah, no, we're not going to see it jumping. That's good. In a way, I suppose.
Ironically enough, they're both the same age. That's astonishing stat right there.
Styles and Cena?
Yeah, same age.
But,
I
think Cena looks like, looks younger than AJ Styles does, doesn't he?
He does.
What do you
think? Maybe it's the hair, though.
Could be the hair.
Okay, here's the upcoming match. We got to talk about this. The winner of this match goes into the Money in the Bank. The losers are out. We all know what's going to happen with this one. It's so predictable.
Lucha
yeah.
Dragons versus Del Rio and Kevin Owens? Well, yeah, there's no way that they're going to take two of the top stars out of the match to put in two cruiserweights that really, people don't – I mean, people don't really care about – I mean, well, they care a little bit about Kalisto, but Sin Cara, even if they do throw a money wrench in there and the Lucha Dragons win it, they're not going to win the actual match, so what does it matter,
No. Well, I wouldn't be surprised if they start, separating the Lucha Dragons, considering the Cruiserweight tournament is about to start.
And one might get drafted to one show, one might get drafted to the other kind of a thing?
Yeah, you can see that. I can see that tag team breaking up.
I never really liked them. I mean, the tag team division has been pretty terrible for a long time, as we've alluded to here. I mean, we had, who was that, the Los Matadores or whatever? They had I don't like the Vaudevillains. I think that's kind of a stupid team. What was that? Oh, Enzo and Cass. Yeah, my roommate thinks Enzo and Cass are amazing. I like them. I do. That one's a cool team. You know, the Jersey badass and the 7-foot guy who you're not sure if he has some sort of autism. I like that. And then you've got, I mean, because really, he's just I don't like him on the mic, but I like his ability. Oh, wow. Wait a minute. Was that Mick Foley's daughter?
Yes, it
yeah.
is.
Oh, Icon, you weren't kidding.
Well,
I mean, I'd seen
photos
of her, but wow. How old is she?
You know,
24.
And, you
she's
know,
a baby.
This is one of those things I wish could happen, you know. The Legend's daughters in a bra and panties match, you know, Charlotte versus Mick Foley's daughter.
Yeah, but Charlotte would destroy her because of her training. I would rather see, like, somebody else have to have a hot daughter. Maybe Brooke Hogan. She's not really a wrestler. Or let's see, who else has hot daughters? Well, I'd have to look that up. We'll have to do some Wikipedia research. But yeah, I would like to see that. That would never happen. I don't think Mick Foley would allow it, nor do I think that we're ever going to see a bra and panties match or anything similar to it again. But yeah, great thought. The whole beautiful idea. You know who I really liked? And I was shocked when she was dating a guy that could have been her father in terms of age, but Stacy Keibler. And
yeah.
You know, I mean, I'm a tree climber as it is. I like taller girls, but I mean, wow, it's just those legs. But anyway, we're off topic
what
here
about,
a little bit.
What about Donna Marie and Tori Wilson's dad?
Yeah, okay, I can. Yeah, perhaps. But we're a little bit off topic here. I don't know if you guys got the point across is his legacy or his value to the company being Cena here we're talking about a little bit diminished because of the three former Shield members really peaking at the moment and all of which being, you know, relatively young still.
Well, you know,
I think
Cena's going to slowly move out of the, you know, full-time picture, and they'll kind of do an Undertaker thing with him, you know, come back once a year or something like that, or like The Rock does, you know, show up whenever they're in Miami, you know.
Oh, so whenever they're in Massachusetts, maybe Cena, you know, when they're in Boston or something. I get it. Jason, what about you, though? Is his value going down here? Is he still going to sort of rule the roost?
I think his value is going down a little bit. I think he gets one more title run. Think about this. For the last year and a half, Cena has not even sniffed at the World Heavyweight Championship. I think we get a sniff of that with the brand split. They need him for the brand split. But after that, I say in another year or two, he diminishes. I think he tries to get Ric Flair's record. I think he gets the record. And that's about it. After that, I think you see a slow decline of John Cena.
Now, do you think
Flair?
And then
would they have a match between him and Flair?
Ooh,
I don't know.
Undertaker, all kind of.
That would be.
Well, Flair at this point, I mean, looking at Flair now, the way he's been the last couple weeks on television, I'd be surprised if he could walk up a full set of stairs at this point. So I don't know if they would really put him in a match against a guy with Cena who's still going to be physically dominating. You know, even well into his 40s. So I don't know. I would like to possibly see it, you know, for who's the best. But, I mean, they're not close to the same age. That's almost like putting – you know, I'd like to see maybe Cena Triple H one time because Triple H is close to that title as well. Make it a match with maybe Flair being the special guest ref, perhaps.
Yeah, something
and
like
then
that.
Flair,
he gets involved,
and then Flair picking
know?
Which one he likes better and screwing over the other one. That could possibly happen.
Mm-hmm.
But there we go, LeBron. Throw that down. That a boy. But anyway, I don't know. I think Cena, I don't necessarily know if his value is diminished because the roster is so diminished at this point. So I think he still has a lot of value. I still think that, you know, if you had to take this entire roster and do a draft, he would be number. I mean, Jason took him number one, you know, in our special draft here. So, I think he still has value. I'm just sick of him at this point. In fact, I was sick of him in high school when I told you I was a huge edgehead, And I was. And when the Elimination Chamber happened at New Year's Revolution in Albany, which I went to that show in 06, when they did the Elimination Chamber, and I think it was like Chris Masters, Kane, Cena, Randy Orton, Mark Henry. There was a few guys in it. And Cena ended up winning the end of the Elimination Chamber, and then Edge cashed in his first Money in the Bank and whatever. That was, to me, was awesome. One, because I was an Edgehead, but two, because I was sick of Cena by then. Cena just shoved it down our throats, just like they tried to do with Roman Reigns, except Cena actually took. And, you know, he just became the guy for 10 years, and I just got sick of him. And I think had they maybe had a heel turn for Cena, that would have been okay. I sort of liked what they were doing with the Nexus thing, how he was sort of, you know, a personal servant or a slave for them for a while. That was interesting. I liked some of his battles with Layfield and the hardcore matches and his stuff with the Big Show. That was interesting, but I think maybe a heel turn for Cena would have been nice. But he's been sort of the babyface good guy for 12 years, and I'm just tired of it.
Well, you know,
I just don't. I just
don't care. Battle the Rock.
Yeah, but you don't bring back a guy that, you know, hasn't really been a full-time player since 03. You don't try to bring him back and have him be, you know, because The Rock isn't going to be an every-night guy. In order for Cena to really take a heel turn, it's got to be an every-night type of thing. And, you know, to have him go against The Rock once, you know, and then, I mean, they had a couple of matches, and they went back and forth with their songs. You know, Rock did the Cleveland Rock Show, and Cena did his rap thing about him, but... You know, it's got to be one of those things where you got to build it over time. Yeah, you do the initial heel turn, but then if he's back to normal again the next night, it doesn't matter. You know, so
right.
It's got to be one of those balls to the wall, all in situations, or don't do it at all, in my opinion. But that's just me. Guys, do we possibly, like, we're only an hour and a half tonight instead of the normal two, so we got to jump through these topics relatively quickly. Do we like the possible idea of two pay-per-views per month? Jerry the King Lawler sort of teased it a little bit. They added that Summer... You like it. Well, it was Royal Rumble, WrestleMania, SummerSlam, Survivor Series will all have one pay-per-view being those ones during their month. All the other months will have two pay-per-views. Is this something... Now, Jerry, you also came up with this idea. Is this something that they'll have two pay-per-views with everybody, or they'll have two pay-per-views, one, you know, one SmackDown, one Raw one? I mean, how are they doing this?
This is where the beauty of the network comes in handy. Now you're going to have one, which is kind of cool. And there's a Roman Reigns, hey, I'm not a SmackDown pay-per-view for all the pay-per-views, so I'm looking forward to watching all of it.
Well, now, they would have to, in order to do that, they'd have to make some new pay-per-views, right? I mean, they don't have, you know.
Yeah, I mean, they'll come up with specials, like Hockey Block and a couple other things they made up. You add old pay-per-views, the Great American Bash, the Halloween Havoc, you could bring things back.
Well, I want them to bring back the old WWF one, No Mercy, Unforgiven, you know, some of those, you know. And
Fully Loaded.
Fully Loaded was a good
Fully Loaded,
one. Yeah. Now, you guys remember the ones that were called In Your House?
Uh huh.
In Your House, yeah.
They might want to bring something like that back.
They could probably bring that back too.
Yeah, because and then what they could do with it is they could put the NXT as the In Your House or house shows could be called In Your House. You know, they could have Fully Loaded, Over the Edge was another good one. You know, a couple of them. And Why put your creative team that is lackluster to begin with on making new pay-per-view names and ideas? You can just bring back the old ones, you know?
Right.
I mean, just recycle them. You have enough between both companies to do that. Why not just do it? And, you know, I think Great American Bash would be cool. You know, I don't know if they could make Bash on the Beach work, but Great American Bash would be cool. You know, I'm trying to think of some of the ones back in the day.
Over the Edge. No Way Out.
I know that there was No Mercy. I totally forgot about No Way Out. That's a good one. You know, and they were doing that one up till relatively recently. You know what I want them to bring back? Get rid of this Fastlane thing, which I don't like. Bring back Fastlane and Payback. Get rid of those. Bring back Backlash. Backlash, because in my opinion, a lot of the time, unless it was Austin or The Rock or whatever, sometimes I found Backlash to almost be better than WrestleMania in some instances. And, you know, so Backlash was awesome. And then what was the one right before WrestleMania that now Fastlane is? Let's see. Royal Rumble,
No Way Out.
No Way Out. Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Because Royal Rumble was January. No Way Out was what, February? And then
February, March.
February or March, yeah. And then WrestleMania and then Backlash. Yeah, okay. So, yeah, then those were good. And then right after WrestleMania, then what? Then they had Backlash. And after Backlash was, I believe, Unforgiven. And then we have all
they got to bring back Unforgiven.
Yeah, and Armageddon.
Armageddon was good.
So, yeah, just, I mean, they have some dumb pay-per-views now. I mean, Extreme Rules, okay, whatever. But if you're going to do Extreme Rules, do it this way. Throw all the PC crap out the window for one night. I mean, people are paying to watch it anyway. It's exclusive to the network anyway. Go back to being able to hit him in the head with chairs and lighting people on fire and all the blood and all the crap you saw in the Attitude Era just for one night only. Go back to it during Extreme Rules, because right now they're not Extreme Rules. They're like sort of more than normal Extreme Rules, but that's all it really is.
You know,
so
I don't know if you guys remember this. Here would be a good idea for a pay-per-view instead of Extreme Rules to be like that. I don't know if you guys are old enough to remember this or not, but when Jake the Snake Roberts took on Sting, and the pay-per-view was Spin the Wheel, Make the Deal. They didn't know what kind
of
match
that
they were going to have.
That was the name of the pay-per-view?
Yeah, Spin the Wheel, Make the Deal. That was the match. And they had to spin the wheel, and whatever it came to was whatever match they had. They had 25 different matches on this wheel.
Well, that was almost
you
like the Raw Roulette that Bischoff tried to bring in, yeah.
Yeah, you did not know what kind of match it was going to be, which added to the flavor.
What pay-per-view was
that? Oh, geez, it was late 80s, early 90s. It was around the time when McMahon got indicted.
Ah.
Because
okay.
Jake Roberts jumped ship and went to WCW.
Okay. Huh. Yeah. I'll have to look that up.
Spin the wheel,
well, remember,
the wheel. I'll never forget that match.
Well, I remember Bischoff brought in that Raw Roulette 2002, which they only did for one night, which I thought that maybe if they could do something like that pretty consistently, would have been kind of cool. But, you know, didn't happen.
Right.
Lucha. Yeah, Lucha Dragons are meh.
Totally meh.
Yeah, they're totally meh. I think meh is the best word to describe them. Now, looking at this, do you think that they should do sort of, I don't know. I mean, didn't they have at one point a SmackDown pay-per-view and a Raw pay-per-view? Didn't they do that at one point?
Yeah, they did.
And it didn't really work that well.
No. Because, I mean, I remember they had two pay-per-views. One was a week after the other or something like that. Or they were alternating months or something like that. I know that they had each one had their own thing. And I remember when they first did the brand split, they would have, you know, the SmackDown wrestlers and the Raw wrestlers together at the same one, and they just have the different shows announced teams doing them, which I thought was kind of a cool idea. But they, you know, the announced teams are basically the same now, so I don't know, but, you know what I'd like to see, honestly?
That match was at Halloween Havoc, 1992.
Halloween Havoc, okay. Now, was that WCW?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, because Halloween Havoc was a WCW pay-per-view. Okay, spin the wheel, make a deal. Huh. Interesting.
But wouldn't this pretty much guarantee we're going to have multiple world champions now?
Yeah, I would say so.
Cool. Okay, who do you guys think it's going to come down to? I think Raw, Seth Rollins, Roman Reigns, SmackDown, John Cena, and AJ Styles. What do you guys think?
I think so, too. I think you're going to get the club and all of them. They're going to run the rough shots on SmackDown. and you got to keep Seth Rollins and Roman Reigns on Raw. It only makes sense.
Well, it doesn't necessarily matter what show. They just have to be on the same show. But, you know, I think the way that they teased it today, or tonight anyway, they teased Dean Ambrose winning Money in the Bank and cashing in and possibly becoming champion, which I've said all along that might be the case. He might win the match and cash in, and, you know, and that way each one of the Shield members has had the belt. I don't know about the same night, but they teased him possibly doing it the same night. They've also been teasing a lot of weeks in a row here. I don't know if you guys have noticed this or how diligently you've been watching, but they've been doing a lot of old Shield like flashbacks, making me think, oh, that was a pretty cool move by Del Rio. Damn. Possibly making me think that we could see a reunion in the future of the Shield.
Because if they, you know, I think that would happen if they keep burning these guys out. I mean, there's no denying the fact that everybody's sick of Roman Reigns right now. I still don't get that. I'm still a fan of Roman Reigns. I don't get that. And Seth Rollins, I'm not a fan of his. You're not either, you know.
I hate Seth Rollins.
And
yeah,
Dean Ambrose, needs a title reign push. He needs to. They need to put the title on him. And they're not.
By the way,
it.
You called it. Kevin Owens and Alberto Del Rio won the match. Surprise!
Oh, geez,
surprise!
Yeah.
Surprise! Surprise! So, now these two sort of going at each other, jarring a little bit here. I don't know. It's 10:32. Oh, and why? Yeah, he did spit on him. Why is the main event Dean Ambrose versus washed-up Chris Jericho? Why is that the main event?
Well, they're going to set it up for something else.
Yeah, perhaps. Now, Seth Rollins hasn't actively fought since he's been back, which leads me to believe perhaps the knee maybe isn't 100%, and they're waiting until Money in the Bank to finally test him out in the ring. Now, do you feel that Seth Rollins, they're just going to pick up where they started, and Seth Rollins is going to take this belt back from Roman Reigns, or do you think that maybe, you know what, we kind of like what we have right now, we're going to rock with Roman Reigns for a little bit?
I don't think so. I think Roman Reigns loses the belt. But here's the deal. He's going to get screwed in some way. Triple H, when's the last time we saw him? Da-da. Think about it.
Yeah. Last time we saw him was his match with Roman Reigns.
Right.
Wasn't it WrestleMania?
What perfect time to bring him back? Then to help Seth Rollins screw Roman Reigns.
Mm.
Because Seth Rollins was the authority guy before. Hmm.
Right.
I could see it. Do you think there's any chance of a cash-in by Dean Ambrose if he wins?
Yes.
Like the same night?
I believe it will happen on Raw.
Okay.
The reason why I say it should happen on Raw is because Raw needs,
ratings.
Excuse my friend
yeah.
here, English or whatever, they need ratings. Raw needs a kick in the ass, you know?
Well, that's
very
good.
The other point. When they do this split, do you think they're going to put NXT on hold for a while and, you know, fill the rosters with those guys, you know?
Well,
because if they're going to have
the
two pay-per-views a month, they got to do it.
Well, they have NXT The End coming, which leads me to believe that they're calling everybody up.
Yeah.
But, again, who knows? Why is my phone only
15%?
That's pretty annoying.
When
anyway,
is the draft again, guys?
July
11th or something like that. It's the week before they go live, which will be the 19th.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now, are we?
Okay.
We have both our rosters set. Our winning
we do.
Roster, the Raw roster against the SmackDown roster. His. Everyone knows that we got the superior roster because you and I picked it.
Exactly,
not that
and
not
you know,
have an ego or anything, but are we going to want to trade guys?
Oh, of course.
Up for it.
But here's the thing. I've been so ridiculously pull my hair out busy that I haven't had a chance to make the page yet. So, you know, we'll make the page and just save the, you know, save the, if you made a card, whatever, save, you know, save your cards. And once they start to go live, we'll go live each week, with our own cards and our own show results and all that. Just to prove that we can do it better than they will, regardless of a brand split. But I've been so busy, I haven't had a chance to make the page yet. So, that is in the works. That is coming.
Okay.
So, looking at this now, though, the cruiserweight belt, that tournament has been announced. I mean, early favorites to win that, because I can maybe name on one hand the amount of guys I would consider to be cruiserweights on the roster. I mean, how are they going to do this?
I don't know.
You know, I think a lot of the NXT guys may become cruiserweights.
NXTs? It's possible.
Yeah, NXT guys. I really don't think that, I mean, how many guys seriously would make cruiserweights right now besides the
Kalisto and Kara
that we just saw? Yeah.
Yep. And
I really
Neville.
Can't put Cesaro there.
Nope, Neville when he comes back. I think
Bo Dallas?
Maybe Cody Rhodes if he comes back.
Well,
maybe.
Here's the surprise for you guys. Some four guys, WWE is going to be back for the Cruiserweight Classic, including Tajiri and Bo Dallas.
Oh, so Bo Dallas is going to be in it. Okay.
Yeah.
Huh.
And
Tajiri, where the hell's he been?
Where's he?
Exactly. I don't know where he's been.
Where's Curtis Axel been, guys?
He's been running away from Godzilla. Curtis Axel, I don't know. Oh, you remember when Tajiri used to spit the green mist? That was awesome.
The great Kalbuki.
Yeah.
Yeah, that shit was
first
awesome.
I'm dating myself with that wrestler, but Tajiri did it. But before him, there was a wrestler in the AWA called the great Kalbuki. And he used to, if he got close to you, if you lean over to slap his hand or something, he'd split the green mist right on your shirt.
Oh jeez!
Interesting. Kind of like the Great Muta. I used to love the Great Muta back in the days.
Do you guys remember who was the guy? Who was the guy who would like paint his face? He was like an African tribal guy, and he had like the parrot. What the hell was his name?
Oh, Coco Beware. No.
Coco Beware.
Or you talking about Kamala?
No, both
Kamala?
Of them. Both of them. But yeah, those guys were awesome too. I miss both those guys. And we haven't had a real
Coco Beware when he was tagging with Owen Hart.
Well, true. Well, we haven't had a real character like that in a while. I mean, a lot of these guys are sort of being themselves right now. A lot of these guys are Kevin Owens is Kevin Owens and Cesaro is Cesaro, and there's not really any like animation. There's not really any characters in there right now.
Well,
Coco Beware
was
a character. Yeah, in a way, but I don't know. I mean, there was a lot of characters in WCW when he was there too, character type figures. So I mean, who knows?
Yeah, I think the last great character was Glacier.
Yeah, I remember Glacier. You guys remember Psychosis? He was a great cruiserweight.
I remember Psychosis.
He was a great cruiserweight, and now, whatever happened to Chris Masters?
Oh, man. The Master Lock. What happened to him?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I think he was on roids, and I think he got kind of fired because he wouldn't stop roids. Because, I mean, that dude was just jacked beyond belief.
Would Zack Ryder be the cruiserweight?
I'm looking at the 32 participants. He's not there.
Okay, well, on my roster, when I made my card, I put him in it simply because I didn't have anybody else on our Raw drafted roster that we made. But yeah, I wouldn't consider him a cruiserweight. The guy's like 6'6". I wouldn't consider him to be a cruiserweight. I really wouldn't consider Zack Ryder to be anything but a jobber, honestly. But you know, but I mean, you know, if they've been trying to push him a little bit, but who knows? Another guy, you know who I think they should bring back too, but again, I don't think with the whole political correctness issue in this country it would go over so well, especially with what's going on in the race relations with the Mexican and whatever population right now. But the thing that they were doing with Jack Swagger and the who was his man? I can't remember. Why am I forgetting his name right now?
Uncle, he played
Zeb Coulter.
Zeb Coulter.
Zeb Coulter. Yeah, with the big mustache and the whole "We the People" thing and his anti-Mexican speeches and things like that that he did, which I thought were you know, it was a heel. He was a heel, and I think it was pretty cool. I mean, I remember watching it and being like, damn, you know, it's gonna piss a lot of people off, but that's what I liked. And now obviously they're not gonna be able to do that now, obviously, but that was a cool storyline.
Right.
Yeah,
I
especially when
he
well, Spears back, but he's not doing much of anything.
No, and he's 34 years old, and you know.
And he's never really been too much. Also, I think we've attested to this in the past couple of shows. Dolph Ziggler has sort of went downhill a little bit.
Yeah,
I feel awful for Ziggler because I was at the when he cashed in his money in the bank and won the title. I was at that Raw, and that was the loudest pop he ever had, and it's been nothing close to that since.
No, I don't think we'll ever see anything close to that again for him. Because they're not really using him the way that they used to use him. And, you know, I think right now this company is 100% focused on Rollins and Reigns. That's what they're 100% focused on. And nobody else really matters. I mean, they're mid-card. I mean, put it this way. They had better mid-card matches and better mid-card superstars, better mid-card storylines when the show was an hour and a half with commercials. Okay.
Yeah.
And now they've got a 3-hour show, so it's about 2 hours and 20 minutes without commercials, and they put together a decent mid card. I don't understand it. I mean, the main events are okay, but the mid cards just have nothing. I mean I know we've said this several times now on the show. When the women's matches, no offense to the ladies out there, but when the women's matches are your best matches at your pay per views, you got a problem. I mean, the women are don't get me wrong, they're great athletes. But when, you know, Charlotte versus Natalia is the best match of the night, wow, Kane is back. Where the hell did he come from?
Corporate Kane.
Oh,
is
yeah,
back.
He started the show, yeah.
Oh, I didn't see the beginning of Raw. I missed the beginning of it, but
they're bringing all the old guys back because, you know, they're trying to sell the, you know, job opening perhaps at SmackDown. So that's what Kane is doing. He's kind of doing what Teddy Long did last week, trying to position himself for a job for SmackDown.
Now, Teddy Long actually ran a pretty good SmackDown. I'd like to see Teddy Long come back.
You guys
I would
really
love
want
to see
him
come
back.
Back?
Really?
Yeah, I liked Teddy Long. You know, he'd come out with that little limp, and he would talk, you know, the way he talked. I thought he was pretty cool.
Let me holler at you, player.
Yeah, I loved it.
I loved it. I loved it.
Why?
I loved him when he was wrestling in WCW and when he was a part-time official there. But, you know, he was a lot bigger back then. But I just don't like this whole Johnny Cochran look-alike thing.
Oh, jeez. Yeah. Well, I don't know. I thought he ran a pretty good ship. I mean, he was a better general manager of SmackDown than Vicky Guerrero.
Well, yeah, but
now Vicky was interesting. I mean, honestly, no offense to Vicky, I think she only got the job because she was Eddie Guerrero's wife. But you know, I could be wrong on that. But now, okay, here comes Jericho. Now, why is Cesaro in the ring? What the hell is this? Again, the main event here, Jericho versus Dean Ambrose. Let's see if something happens here. Oh, he's the special guest ring announcer. That's interesting.
Very interesting.
Well, let's see if anything here happens between these guys. You know, Jericho being the whiny bitch Jericho is, that's what he's been his entire career. So I'm okay.
Yeah.
I'm okay with Jericho doing that because he's been that for so long.
Wearing that stupid scarf.
The scarf needs to go, sure, but you know, the rest of him is fine.
And look who's ringside, boys.
Oh yeah. Okay.
Del Rio and Owens. What is going to happen here?
Watch. Nothing happens.
All the participants from the Money in the Bank
are at ringside at one time. Something is going to happen here. Or, to quote the great JR, business is damn sure going to pick up here, boys.
Yeah, I hope so.
Well, we would hope. But, oh, wow. Wait a second, guys. I just clicked off for 1 second to check the score of the game, and an ugly-looking fall. Is that Klay Thompson?
Oh, they might have a commercial.
No, Bogut. Bogut's hurt.
What's the score in the game, guys?
67-64 Cleveland. But Bogut,
really?
You'll see the replay. You'll see the replay when it comes back. Ugly. Bogut might be toast here. Oh, wow. Anyway.
Well,
back to Raw here for a second.
Well, one quick thing. LeBron, this is what John Cena needs to do. He needs to challenge his inner LeBron. LeBron pulled a heel move and baited Draymond Green, and now that cost them the game. And now with Bogut possibly being out, this whole series changes now.
Well, this was LeBron. This was LeBron just was in on the play that hurt too. I think. No, it was J.R. Smith.
Oh, I see it.
Was that a hyperextension or what was that?
It looked like a hyperextension.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it looked worse real time than it did in the replay. But anyways, back to this is the Raw show. We'll talk a little bit about this tomorrow. This is the wrestling show we've got here tonight. So, you know, do you think that perhaps WWE should start to do a little bit of what UFC does? And when I say that, I mean have one huge match that they hype up for the entire month and have one or two smaller matches, but not have a 3-hour or 4-hour pay-per-view. Have like an hour pay-per-view or 2-hour pay-per-view and have it set it up with one, you know, match, maybe one or two contestants as the mid-cards, and sort of have it that way a little bit. Or not necessarily exactly like UFC does, but sort of make it that UFC promotion, because right now there's some pay-per-views that I just don't care about, and there's some pay-per-views that, you know, I don't want to sit through the whole thing to get to what I want to see. So perhaps maybe they should look at what UFC is doing and look at the marketing plan that UFC has become arguably the biggest sports entertainment avenue possibly ever right now. Why not just maybe model your style a little bit after what they're doing? Because right now, like, I don't want to see the first four matches be like, you know, Heath Slater versus, you know, Bo Dallas, let's just say. And then the next match, you know, Sin Cara versus Zack Ryder. And then the third match be, you know, women's match. And then the fourth match be, you know, some Joe Mo versus whoever. And then finally have a decent match. And then have, you know, blah, blah. I don't want to sit through 3 hours of programming to get to the matches
well,
I want to see.
Reduce Raw down to 2 hours.
It used to be, yeah.
They won't do that. They want the ratings and the revenue.
Yeah, I didn't like the fact that they moved it to 3 hours because, you know, 8 o'clock, I'm still usually working. I usually miss the beginning of Raw. I almost always miss the beginning of it. And then I record, but yeah.
It's funny when I was a kid. Let's not say when I was a kid, but. I remember.
Did they even have TVs when you were a kid?
funny. I remember when Raw first debuted. When I was watching it back then, I wanted Raw to be 3 hours. Now I don't. You know, that was back when you had all the gimmick guys. You had Razor Ramon. You had Diesel.
Doink.
You had Yokozuna. You had all those guys.
Doink, yeah.
You had Doink the Clown. You know, you
remember Captain Lou Albano?
Yeah, you had Isaac Yankem, DDS, you know.
Isaac Yankem was Kane, right?
Kane was also the fake Diesel.
Yeah, yep, okay.
So, and then when they were going, when the Monday Night Raws were going, I thought they should have moved to 3 hours then. Now they got no competition. I don't see them needing to be 3 hours. You know,
they're the only game in town.
And a half.
Yeah. You know, I honestly feel like two would be fine. I mean, look at the Attitude Era and how much we love it and how much everyone our age loves it and misses it. That show, if you watch WWE Network and you watch where it ends there, it's only about an hour and a half long, maybe an hour and 28 minutes, something like that, because of, you know, the commercials and things. And they still got an ass load of storylines, a whole bunch of action. You know, they were still able to captivate audiences for an hour and a half. Now they have now they have 2 hours of crap, a half hour of decent stuff, and then, you know, a half hour worth of talking. So, you know, I think that maybe they should cut it back down, because I think the brand perhaps suffered with the 3 hours because they don't have the roster. I mean, I think they had the talent back in the Attitude Era to have a 3 hour show, like you were saying. I think that they would have maybe benefited from a 3 hour show back then. I mean, they never would have happened. They would have to go super late. They would have to stay started at 9 because they couldn't have that kind of programming on that early back then. But they would have benefited because, I mean, could you imagine with all that talent, they could have had longer matches, better, you know, even more in-depth storylines. You know, they wouldn't have had to have every third match of the show end in a disqualification. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Because, you know, remember how many DQs there were and run-ins and things like that? They wouldn't have had to necessarily do that in order to save time. You know, so I don't know. I mean, it's
I don't know if you guys have ever noticed this. I mean, I was just thinking about this, you know, when I was watching Raw. Remember how they used to announce at the beginning match, this match is scheduled for one fall and a 20-minute time limit. They don't do that anymore. They just let these guys come out here and waste our time, insult our intelligence.
Well, matches never take that long anyway, but unless it's a pay-per-view match. But
yeah.
But I do remember them. I do remember Howard Finkel. You know, yeah, this match set for one fall with a 20-minute time limit. Yeah, I do remember that. You know, now, do you guys feel that Howard Finkel? I liked Howard Finkel. I mean, obviously, I like Lillian Garcia, too. But Howard Finkel was okay in my book. I didn't have a problem with
him. Oh, he was great. He was great.
Oh,
I love the
Finkel. You know, I always used to wait, you know. When I was a kid watching wrestling, here I hate to go back to the kid thing again, but that was always my dream to hear.
You'd park your horse and
you'd
park your horse and buggy and go in and watch it. Yeah.
thanks a lot, kid. I took Terrius to school too, you know.
Yeah, well, I hear you. But the winner and new World Wrestling Federation champion. Yeah.
I mean, you know, okay, now let's watch this match here real quick. All right. Dean Ambrose, this is, by the way, I don't know if you guys feel the same way I do. This is a crappy main event, by the way.
Oh, it's awful.
You know?
Yeah, I said that in the beginning, yeah. Wait. So you don't think this is a good main event?
I don't think much of it, no.
It doesn't matter what you think!
I had to. I'm sorry.
Well,
I missed.
At least you just say it doesn't matter what your name is, you know.
That's true. Yeah.
Don't play that either.
No, I don't have that much to think.
We already know how this match is going to end. It's not going to end cleanly. It's going to end in a disqualification, and
or somebody
getting
screwed. Yeah.
Yeah, and everybody's going to jump in, and they're, you know, then that's when you watch Jim Ross say, what is going to happen this weekend? You know?
Sunday
night, you know?
This Sunday,
now, it's
yeah.
Michael Cole. Hey, the pay-per-view is Sunday.
Make
you
sure
know,
you check
I
it out,
win.
Guys.
Ridiculous.
I mean, when are we ever going to have... I know I've beaten this clip into the ground, but when are we ever going to have this again?
Run! To my standing guard!
I missed
what a way
that.
To end the show. What a way to end a show, honestly, right? I mean, come on.
Yeah.
Tell me there's not a better way to go off air than with that clip. So, yeah, just the things
well,
that JR used to bring to the
table. What do you guys think of this main event right now, seriously?
I'll let Jason go first.
Jason.
All right, well, he'll just pop in when he gets – he might be having some mic issues. We'll see.
Well,
this
he probably
main event,
got upset because they insulted the SmackDown roster.
Maybe, yeah, who knows? I mean, a hand-picked SmackDown roster. I just don't think there's any pop anymore. I mean, main events used to mean something. And, you know, it doesn't necessarily mean I'm not saying I'm a title mark in that sense where it has to be the world champion in the main event, because I remember plenty of times during the Attitude Era where when Triple H was the champion, he'd fight like the fifth match of the night or something. He'd fight at like 10 o'clock, you know? I mean, that
right.
I've seen it happen. It doesn't necessarily have to be a title match on Raw, but you have to have something interesting. You have to start the show, in my opinion, start the show with a pop and end the show with a pop. And,
yeah.
you know, to keep
yeah.
people to keep people interested. And, you know, I remember back in the day some of the epic – during the McMahon-Helmsley regime, some of the epic Triple H promos – you know, he'd come out.
Yeah.
I know The Rock made fun of this a couple times where, you know, he's like, yeah, I'm Triple H, and this is my show. You know, The Rock used to make fun of that a lot. But Triple H used to come out and talk for 20 minutes, you know, but he kept people captivated. He kept people captivated. Somebody else would come out. Rock would come out. Mankind would come out. Somebody would come out, and they'd banter back and forth. They'd do their whole thing, and it would sort of set up a match later in the night, or set up a match at a pay-per-view. They'd set up something with that, and then they'd have a big-time main event. Right now, with the way that the roster is, they cannot afford to have any main events that don't involve Cena, Rollins, Reigns, or Ambrose. I mean, Ambrose
yeah,
is in this
so
one, sure. But, yeah, Ambrose is in this one right now, sure, but they just don't have the talent to have anybody else be in a main event right now. And the fact that they're giving it to Jericho, who, okay, I understand Jericho, the first ever undisputed champion. He's one of the best, you know, ever really in the business. But he's old, man. I mean, Jericho debuted in 99, okay?
Yeah.
I mean, 99, and he was in WCW before that. So, I mean,
hey, did you see that preview just now? The Rock is going to be on Central Intelligence this Friday.
Oh, it's going to be a movie. Yeah, it's a movie that's coming out. Yeah,
okay.
him and
oh,
Kevin
so
Hart.
I thought it was
Rock.
A TV show.
No, it might be. I don't know. But I know it's Rock and Kevin Hart, which I think would be awesome. Because Kevin Hart's funny. He makes me LOL. But I think that, yeah, he does. But you know, now this match with Ambrose, I like Ambrose wrestling in jeans. I like that whole look, that whole appearance that Ambrose does. I think that's pretty cool, the whole, you know, psychotic thing and all that, whatever. But I just
yeah, that
I
facial
feel,
expression he has.
Yeah, he just has this insane look, which I like. I'll give these two guys this. That match at Extreme Rules with the thumbtacks and all that, that was an awesome match. That was pretty badass. And I will give these two guys that. That was a hell of a match, and it brought me back to the old days and, you know, sort of made me reminisce a bit. But I mean, Jason, what do you think of this main event right now? Is this a lackluster main event?
Not only is it lackluster, but it's also showing you like how much the direction right now. Everybody's pretty much waiting for the draft. I think right now everybody's just stalling until then. So you're going to get a couple more lackluster Raws until we get to mid-July.
And then do you think that they really turn on the gas after that? Because I think
they have to
at that point.
They have to at that point.
Oh, here we go. Walls of Jericho. And it's only 10:59. Raw is scheduled to 11:05. So you know he's getting out of this. but, you know, so it's one of those things, you know, and – The only thing that was ever a given was like the Stone Cold Stunner or the Rock Bottom. Those were only really the given, or the Choke Slam or the Tombstone. Once those happened, it was over, no matter what time it was. But now, you know, now you put them in this match with 5 minutes left to go, and you know, I don't know.
Whenever you see the finishing move like this coming up here, you know there's 5 minutes left in the show. You know.
Yeah. I just don't think the wrestler should be allowed to do their finishing moves until the match is ending, unless It's a pay-per-view like when Undertaker kicked out of, what, 3 F5s, something like that.
Right.
You know, guys kick out of pay-per-view, unless it's an epic match. But if it's just a lackluster match on Raw, don't do your finisher, because to have somebody – the Walls of Jericho used to be such a debilitating and dominating submission finisher. Now it's like he locks it in right in the beginning of the match, and what do? They call the rope sometimes twice, three times during the match, and it's like – you know, I don't know. I think
hey, guys.
What?
Alberto Del Rio's got the ring bell knocker thing here.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Huh.
You
I
know,
did
I
see
don't
that.
Know if you guys remember this, but, you know, it's, you know, when he came to the WD, it's the Walls of Jericho. But before, when he was in the WCW, it was called the Lion Tamer.
Yeah, I remember
I do
that.
Remember that. Yep, I do remember that.
So apparently I'm not exactly dating myself, so you guys were there for,
Icon, do you remember I watched WCW before WWE just because my aunt knows Hulk Hogan, but do you remember as well that Jericho was kind of a bit of a jobber in WCW?
Yeah, well, yeah,
I mean,
when
I
he first started, you know, I remember when he first started on WCW Saturday Night.
Yeah, I just remember Jericho sucking. Like I remember, I don't know why. I know it was a long time ago, almost 20 years at
so
this point, almost.
So what has
yeah,
changed?
But
he still sucks.
Well, okay, but no. But what I mean is, I just remember Jericho sucking, and it's kind of feeling bad because I liked how he would bounce off the ropes and some of his lion salt and things like that. And then I remember he debuted in WWF at the time, and I was like, "Oh, this guy. Okay, he was nothing in WCW." And then they put the Intercontinental belt on him, and they had him in the major storylines, and they did this and that. And I'm just like, "Oh, all right. Well, maybe they have a different direction for him than the other company did."
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. I remember he debuts. He comes out and interrupts the Undertaker in the middle of his promo, Big Show.
No,
and
it was
I'm just like,
Rock.
No. Jericho did it. Jericho did it too when remember Taker was talking about his thing in the desert with the Big Show, and Jericho comes out and he's like, "I don't know who the hell you are, but if you interrupt me again," you know, he's like,
oh, yeah,
or something.
Yeah, yeah.
I that whole thing. So yeah, that
all right, here we go. See, I knew it. Didn't I call it Kevin? Okay,
yep.
Here we go. They're all I called this.
Sami Zayn, yep. Zayn and Owens, which we knew
this
was
because it's you. I'm not saying this because it's you. But the story that you, the show for Raw that you had written last week, was the best Raw I've not seen in a long time. I'm not just saying that because it's you. It's true, you know.
Well, I put it together. I know Dustin and Jeremy were kind of rushing me to. You know, I had the whole thing written out, scripts and notes and quotes and everything. But I know that we were rushed for time, and they wanted me to get on with it. But yeah, I mean, I had the whole thing written out, and I thought it was somewhat interesting, and it wasn't even really. It was using the same people they're using now for the most part. Now, Sami Zayn, Zayn and Owens is a big thing. I mean, Cesaro's in it. We figured this would break into a rumble several times in the Attitude Era. We saw things break into a rumble to end the show. I'm perfectly fine with chaos. I love chaos.
Sure.
I like chaos. Called correctly, and you know,
yeah.
Can you just imagine like JR and Sami Zayn off the top rope? Good lord, he took them all out. You know, he just completely makes it so much cooler. And now, you know, what the hell is this? Jericho in the ring with a ladder. What the hell is Jericho thinking? You know, that whole thing,
yeah.
You know, and it's nothing with Michael Cole.
Yeah, one of my all time favorite lines of JR, "Who is your daddy?"
Oh yeah, I do remember that. Or I remember when Kane was going after the Un-Americans, and he had him up in the chokeslam, and Jerry was like, "Send him to hell, send him to hell." I was like, "Oh no."
Hey, but you gotta promise us one thing though: when you become a writer in the WWE, that you'll remember your buddies and you'll bring us along with you.
That's right.
Oh sure. Well. Here's my thing.
You know,
when I come in,
you guys up, but we could write a better show than what they got. No, I mean, he's sitting on top of a ladder with his legs crossed, for God's sake. Come on.
When I when I come in as my general manager figure, Chris Chaos, I'm going to have a main, like right now, my main event, hold on, let me open up my thing here. What was my main event this week? I know we weren't doing this week, but who was my main event? Let's see here. That's SmackDown. This is, okay. All right, my main event would have been, I would have had a match, honestly, with Cena and AJ Styles. I wouldn't have just had a contract signing. I would have had something with them, or perhaps I would have had Roman Reigns facing off, let's see, Orton's not back yet. I would have had Roman Reigns in the main event somewhere, and then have Seth, put it this way, here's what I would have done. I would have had AJ Styles versus Roman Reigns, okay?
Yeah.
And I would have had Cena and now I don't have Seth Rollins on my roster, but if I was writing this show and using the real roster, I would have had those two go at it and then have it be Cena and Rollins interfere and would have been a rumble that way, because nobody gives a shit about any of the guys in this match. Nobody cares. Money in the bank, sure, whatever. But if Dean Ambrose doesn't win, they're going to get boo-booed, whoever it is. So, I mean, the crowd wants Dean Ambrose. I think anybody who's a wrestling fan wants Dean Ambrose. If Ambrose doesn't win, it's going to be a bust. It's going to be a busted event.
I guess we got to make our predictions. Who we think is going to win Money in the Bank on Sunday?
Who we think?
Who we think.
Dean Ambrose could win.
Should, yes, but he's not going to. They're not going to give it to Ambrose.
Well, they better not give it to Kevin Owens either.
That's who I think is going to get it.
Yeah, Owens. I would say either Owens or possibly WWE has a weird habit of doing this, teasing winners of things on Raw before pay-per-views. I hope they don't give it to Jericho.
Oh God, no, that's a waste.
Okay, all right, let's put down our predictions right now. Who's going to win Money in the Bank? I got Dean Ambrose.
I'm going with Kevin Owens.
And for the sake of being different, as much as I agree with Jason about Ambrose, for the sake of being different, I'm going to say Cesaro.
Okay.
Just for the sake of being different, because I think that's more entertaining. But my heart does say it's going to be Ambrose. But I'll play devil's advocate here. Clay Thompson shooting from the parking lot. No, of course, yeah. Shooting from the parking lot here is Clay Thompson. Wow, I don't know what the hell that was. So anyways, yeah, so Raw goes off the air. Jericho, for those of you who may have missed it, who were too busy listening to our show, Jericho gets in the ring, pulls down the Money in the Bank, sits there with his legs crossed on top of the ladder, holding the Money in the Bank briefcase, and sort of teasing the fact that he's going to be the one to win it, which sometimes they do. And sometimes they don't. Sometimes they have somebody do something on Raw the night before, and then they end up losing. So who knows? I think that Jericho, obviously, like Jason said, would be a waste to have Jericho win it at this point. I don't think he has another title run in him. I think he's at the point where he's too old to have another substantial title run in him. But I would like to see the progression of young guys. I'd like to see a guy like a Sami Zayn or Cesaro or Kevin Owens get it just because of the progression of building the future. But I also would like to see Dean Ambrose get it because he's been screwed over on 4, 5, 6 occasions now. So, who knows?
If you had to pick one of the new guys, I would much rather have it be Sami Zayn.
Which could be. I just think that would come out of nowhere, honestly, because how many times have we seen a face win it? It's almost always the heel, and a heel ends up cashing in on the face, okay? That's why I don't think that they can give it to Ambrose, because everybody wants Ambrose to cash in on Roman's Reigns, okay? But nobody wants, a Cesaro or a Berto Del Rio or somebody to cash in. And I think that's sort of been the trend. Now, unless they're planning on doing something a little different.
I kind of like when the faces I like when the faces cash in. I mean, we saw with RVD cashed in. He gave Cena an opportune time. That he let him know, hey, I'm going to cash in that one night stand. So he was ready. Cena kind of did the same thing to Punk. So I kind of like when the face happens.
Does
okay,
anybody
camera,
know?
I'll focus to you.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Well, I said, does anybody know who the only person is to cash in Money in the Bank and not win the belt?
John Cena.
No, it's two people.
Oh, it's two. I thought it was only one.
No, Cena and then what's his name? Sandow. Sandow tried to cash in on Cena and lost.
Oh, that's right.
Oh, that's right.
Yep.
All right, okay. Well, I'll put this to you guys. What was the best cash in ever?
Oh, Edge, the first one.
Yeah, mine, the one I was at live. Yeah, of course. That was awesome. Now, I'm glad I was there live. And I'm going to say this, one, because I was an Edgehead. Two, because it was just awesome the way that it happened. But also, the fact that it wasn't a JR call. It was a Michael Cole call. And had I watched that live, I don't think it would have been as special to me, not having it be JR. And the fact that I was there live, I think, sort of made it more awesome, sure. But I'm glad I was there live because of that reason, honestly.
Was that when he celebrated with Lita the next night?
Yeah.
Live sex celebration. Yep. Yep. And
okay. Well, you know,
which was awesome, by the way.
Yeah. I have a different opinion on the best cash in. Mine was CM Punk.
Punk's was a good one too. Punk's, well, I'll give you that. Punk's was pretty baller also.
That
I didn't
set, Sheamus. That kind of set him.
Yeah, that Punk
like
on
this one.
Yeah, the Punk was good because it was when we was like, oh crap, Raw doesn't have a champion anymore, and then he came out of nowhere and did what he did.
Oh, hold on a second. Ah, shit, knock stuff over. I hate that when I reach for a drink and then I knock it over.
Well, you know what they say: don't drink and drive; you might spill it.
Well, pretty much, yeah. It's yeah. Oh, well, I had that one time when I came into a party and they were like, I was like, hey guys, what's going on? They're like, have you been drinking? I was like, not since I got out of the car. So, but anyways, I feel like I find myself, and I hate to say this, I find myself not really caring who wins this Money in the Bank. I mean, if it's not Ambrose anyway, I just don't care. I don't know why. If it's not Ambrose, I don't care. And maybe that's bad. But now Jason, you mentioned this. You said earlier Raw needs ratings. Raw needs, you know, and I think we all agree WWF, or WWE rather, needs ratings. They need TV revenue.
Raw
they need all that.
Yeah,
exactly.
Needs
it needs a kick in the ass. But every time you watch Raw, there's asses in seats. I mean, it's sold out. So people are obviously going to the events. People are obviously following the events. Why is there so much turmoil about, oh, they're on a downslide with ratings, but every single time we see a live event, it's packed to the rafters?
Well, you're not the wrestling show in town anymore.
True, but I'm just saying, like, would there be – I don't know. I think maybe this whole – you know, hey, we need ratings. We're having a hard time with ratings. Maybe that's just a marketing ploy on their end to get people to watch more, because I see a bunch of sold-out events left and right. I when Jason used to call in live from the events, from the Barclays Center events, it was tough to hear him. It was so loud, you know? And I don't think that they're pumping in crowd noise, you know?
No.
I think that they're actually live crowds. So, I mean, if you've got enough – people watching to fill arenas that are anywhere from 15,000 to 30,000 people every single week, and they got enough people to fill on Texas Stadium, which fits 85 without, you know, without the end zones. I think obviously there's still enough people interested in this to spend money to go to live events. So I don't buy the whole we're struggling for ratings and no one's watching us. People are watching. And people are obviously spending money to go. I think the day that you see, you know, a WWE event start to look like a baseball game, that's when you know that they're struggling. You know, when you see a bunch of empty seats here and there.
That's true. Every time I go to the event, it is packed. It is jam packed. So yeah, you're right. You're onto something there.
Yeah. So that's just me. I mean, now maybe people aren't necessarily watching as much. Especially with social media being the way it is, and they can, you know, get spoilers beforehand, or they can just read the results on the computer. They might not necessarily be watching quite as much. But when the event's in their town, they're showing up to do it. And also, Roman Reigns, when Raw was in Albany, this was earlier. This was still 2015 at this point, but it was within the calendar year, the school year. Roman Reigns, they did an event in Albany, and he was doing an autograph signing in FYE, and I mean, you couldn't even get into the mall. I mean, it was that busy, and I mean, that line literally went all the way from FYE all the way down to the end of the mall by where Macy's is, down the stairs and around, just to see Roman Reigns, and this was before he was champion. So I mean, people, you know, I still see shirts and stuff walking around. I still see, you know, I see Budio's stuff now that Jason's pointed it out. I've been seeing it more and more. And, you know, I just think that this might just be a ploy. This might just be, oh, we're hurting for ratings. And just even though they're not, even though they're rolling in the Benjamins, I still think that maybe they're saying that just to get people to watch it more, because they just – it's just a smart business strategy perhaps.
Hey, you guys, speaking of Budio's, not to get off topic, but did you guys have a chance to check
to
out the
no.
first episode of Swerve? Swerve?
I did not see Swerve's, no.
It starred the New Day pitching their new products, and they're having kids test it, like booty balls and you know, booty noodles. And the kids were trying this stuff up, and it was like so disgusting and so gross. I mean, the kids were getting sick. It was awesome.
Well, Swerve was always a funny show. Swerve was like a pranked version of WWE's version of pranked, or not pranked.
Yep. Punked.
Yeah, punked. It was sort of like that. So, I liked it. I didn't like Ride Along. I thought that was kind of cheesy. And the Edge and Christian show, don't get me wrong, I'm a huge Family Guy. I have every Family Guy that's ever been made on DVD, so I like that kind of humor, but the Edge and Christian shows is a little too good for me. You know, I do like Camp WWE. I've been getting into that a little bit. But
I don't like that.
You don't like Camp,
I don't
huh?
like that. I don't like
Why not?
That. I mean, the only episode I did like was when they were talking about so I can get into Stephanie's pants. I know we all want to do that. But I guess I don't like that, and pun intended, I don't like that campy humor, you know. The one show I'm really waiting for is Holy Foley.
That'll be good. But mostly
because it's Foley and his daughter.
But yeah.
You know?
Yeah, you horny old man. I bet you are. Now I've been looking at it as well and some of the shows and things on there. And, you know, honestly, I can admit this on air. I mean, I'm a man. I'm comfortable in my sexuality. I watched a few episodes of Total Divas. Now, I watched it on mute, but I watched it for what they look like, you know?
Well, hey,
and,
there's nothing wrong with that show.
Well, yeah, it gets a bit Kardashian-y at points. So, you know, I don't know. It's a bit much when you keep the volume on, but watching it without the volume looks good. Yeah, I'm fine with that. And you know, Dustin loves this girl. I don't know why. I think she's I don't necessarily like the look, but he likes all red everything, Eva Marie. And I it's just too much, man, with the hair. You know, just get a normal hair color, would you? I mean, Jesus.
Who's that?
Eva Marie.
Oh, yeah.
All red everything. The one with the Wendy's girl color hair.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, the Wendy's girl red hair. I just I can't get behind. I know Dustin loves her, but I can't get behind it.
Yeah.
And I know you guys will
think I'm sick for saying this, but I'm a fan of Natalya and Paige. I don't know what it is.
Well, Natalya, I don't necessarily know, but I think Jason and I have had discussions about this, and I would do unforgivable things to Paige.
I'd turn her on white.
Yeah, oh Jesus. Yeah, I would make national news for the things I would do to Paige. Just saying. But not just Paige though. You know, I also, and I know Jason likes her as well, but Sasha Banks.
Oh yeah.
I mean, Sasha's got she's a little ball of fire, man. She's only 5'2", but she's a little ball of fire. And, you know, she would be interesting, I think.
Charlotte,
the face. I can't get by the face, man. She just looks too much. And plus, I'd be thinking of her dad the whole time.
Exactly.
I don't know.
Well,
yeah,
I
just
that's an image I don't need right now.
No, Ric Flair shirtless. Yeah, I don't need that. Now Becky Lynch.
But just think of the money that would come with dating her, though. Think of that.
Well, any of them, they all make good paychecks. In fact, is it me or is Brie Bella way too hot for Daniel Bryan?
Oh yeah, he overachieved on that one. Good for him, though.
He married up or he dated up or whatever.
Well, he married up at this point, but yeah.
That's way
too hot for him. Now, I liked the couple because I thought that Nikki Bella and John Cena were good together because they're both, you know, and again, I'm comfortable in my sexuality, so I'm not saying this in any other context, but Cena's a bad-looking dude, and I think that, you know, Nikki Bella obviously is a smoke show, so I thought those two were good together. The fact that, you know, they're not, I don't think, still together. They might still be. I don't think so, though.
Yeah, they are.
They are still together. They are. Okay. I wasn't quite sure, but I guess they are. Now Paige with Alberto Del Rio.
That makes me sick.
Why?
Alberto Del Rio, he's like, what, 60?
No, he's not that old. He's not your age. But I'm saying he could.
Hey.
But listen, if it's not Joe, it's you.
There is a big age difference, though.
Oh, huge. Yeah, huge age difference. He's like the creepy uncle at this point. You know, I don't know what she sees in that. You know, now Natalya, I don't know much about. I don't know if I can get behind.
I don't know if I can jump
on the Natalya bandwagon.
Well, look,
what about Maryse?
I would marry her so I could be related to Bret Hart. You know that?
Fair enough. Okay, then that's a totally, totally valid way of looking at it. Maryse, as Jason mentioned, if I can get by the accent, yes.
Lana?
Lana, yes. Lana, absolutely. Now, that accent is good. The French-Canadian accent I don't like, but the Russian accent is sexy.
Yeah, well, in the whole deal with her and Rusev, I don't get that either.
That's a real life thing. Yeah, I don't know either.
I know
yeah,
it's a real life thing, but
I mean, Rusev looks like a caveman.
But the three of us are better looking than Rusev.
Well, I mean, Rusev is the closest thing to a Neanderthal that you're gonna find in 2016.
And
so,
she probably likes that.
Yeah. Hey, who knows what she's into? You know, they're in the bedroom. She wants her to hit him. She wants him to hit her with a club or something and drag her around the room. I mean, who knows? But it's one of those things where, you know, Rusev, he's annoying. Who else is on the current? Emma is just too goof for my liking. Alicia Fox isn't bad. Let me see. Tamina, I'm trying to think of the women here on the rosters. We've already discussed Paige.
Lillian Garcia too.
She's a little old now, but yeah, she was good back in the day. Do you guys remember what was her name? I just had it and then he threw me off with the Lillian Garcia thing. I'll get it back here in a minute. Oh, back in the day. Okay. So let's not just rank now that we're on our pervert section here for the last 5 minutes of the show, I mean see what we've spiraled into here.
This is still a better ending segment than what Raw just had. I'll just say
exactly.
That.
Exactly. Let's take a look at, with the last 5 minutes, all-time women wrestlers. I mean,
Sonny.
Trish Stratus. Are you on the Trish Stratus or the Lita bus?
Trish. I would be on both their buses, actually.
Okay, but if you had to pick, if those were the only two women ever in the history of WWE,
Lita.
Which one would you choose? Lita?
Lita.
Okay.
I
like Trish because of the face, but Lita, I like girls with tats. But I mean,
yeah.
Trish was hot. I'm sorry,
yeah.
She was.
I mean, Trish Stratus was a girl you could bring home to your parents. Lita would be the gal that you'd bang
out
at halftime in a football game. You know?
Oh Jesus! Yeah, that's true. You guys remember Dawn Marie? She was interesting. And
Sonny,
you know who else struck
Sonny,
me as?
Sonny.
Sonny, yeah, that's dating yourself as well, but yes, I think Sable is a bit of was the first one really to do that. But you guys remember, what the hell was that? Oh, you know what strikes me is she would be like the psycho ex that would like slash your tires if you broke up with her. Be Victoria.
Mm. Oh yeah, yep.
She was just crazy, and you know Molly Holly. I liked Molly Holly when she was superhero Molly Holly. But then when she did the whole, like, she was with William Regal and all that, and she cut her hair and dyed it brown, and that was, I wasn't so sure about that. But you know who I found sexy as well? Ivory. I don't know why.
Yeah, okay.
But something about
her. Here's the best one. Here's the best one. The cat. Miss Kitty.
Miss Kitty, yeah. Yeah. Although, again, I would be thinking of Jerry the King Lawler the whole time. But yeah.
How about Mickey James?
Oh, I forgot about Mickey James. Yeah, she was attractive in like a psychotic way, but yeah.
Yeah.
Mickey James.
And Stacey Keebler with those legs, she put legs around you and choke you to death.
She could wrap them around you twice. You remember who didn't true. You know who didn't really do much in the ring, but who I just remembered and I'm instantly like
Corey
you
Wilson.
Know, like no. Kelly Kelly.
Ah.
Oh yeah, she was an exhibitionist.
Was she?
Oh yeah, she's a real exhibitionist. She even said that.
Huh. Oh, I didn't know that. Huh. Now I would say overall here in the final 3 minutes, overall though, WWE does not have the hottest divas in my opinion, and it's just something about her face, something about she has just the right number of tats, something about her style, her face, the everything, the image, absolutely everything about it. I don't know why, or I couldn't tell you in words, even though I was an English major, I couldn't tell you in words what it was. But TNA, Velvet Sky.
The beautiful people.
Beautiful people. Now, Angelina Love, she needs the Crayola people to do her face to be hot. I mean, she strikes me as kind of too fake for my liking. But Velvet Sky is absolutely just, I mean, oh my God. The things that I can't even say on air what I would do because I probably have the cops in my house. But Velvet Sky is absolutely good. Like, you know what? We can't even do this. We're going to be back next Monday. Velvet Sky, again, I love you. If you're listening to this, call into the show and let's
what you do to us.
Just tell us what you do to me. Forget the other two. So we'll see y'all next Monday. And we are going to be tomorrow for Sports Roundup, 11 to 1. Make sure you check that out every Sunday, Satellite Sundays from 1 to 3. This show from 10 to sometimes 12, sometimes 11:30, depending on what kind of content we have. And make sure you check it on out for wrestling fans everywhere. This is Off the Ropes with the Icon, Jason Cordonaire, and your boy Swigs. We're going to have our cards for you next week as well and our results. So check it out.
Yeah.
Dead man walking. You've done it now.